T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 days away from NFL free agency. Steelers almost never active players in that, but it'll be a big week because the Steelers have so many guys entering free agency. Bud Dupree, Juju Smith-Schuster, Al Villanueva, Mike Hilton, Cam Sutton, James Conner, Matt Filer, all free agents. Fan Hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitas. The Hall of Famer, Brad Exone, John Clayton back with us. John, that list of names I just read off, which guy do you think has the biggest market? Who will sign the biggest contract among the Steelers who are entering free agency?
Juju Smith-Schuster, I think. Yeah, because you got teams in need of wide receivers. You know, I look at Alejandro Villanueva as maybe a $12 million guy. I look at Juju as maybe a $15 million guy. And again, we're all still trying to gauge how much less players have to take in this, you know, depleted market right now. I mean, we just watched Lavonte David in Tampa take a deal that, you know, he's good enough as a Pro Bowl linebacker to probably get in a normal year 15 plus million and maybe even 17 million. He took a 2-year deal at 12.5 million dollars. So there's discounts that are there. In a normal year, if the cap was going to go up $10 million, then Juju probably could have get 16 or 17 million. But now the question for that is, who's going to give the long-term deal? Because, you know, if you're not getting what your value is, and he's probably not going to get value for what he's worth, you might take a 2-year deal so you can hit it again in 2023. So that's going to be the intriguing thing for these free agents to try to follow.
John, I'm curious, because so many wide receivers now, it seems, get drafted every year. Like, the position is just always loaded because of the direction maybe the NFL is headed. Why do teams still want to pay maybe premium for guys on the free agent market when it seems like you can find instant impact at that position more readily available than ever before?
No, it's a great point because, again, it's like as great as it is to have great receivers, you know, they don't seem to be as much as a difference maker. It's not like you see, you know, a $17 million wide receiver helping take the team to the Super Bowl. Now, again, you know, we watched a great Stephon Diggs in Buffalo help get them deep into the playoffs, but getting him to the Super Bowl, there seems to be a little bit of a gap. But, again, it's a matter that it's like, okay, if you can get a receiver in a second contract and lock him up for 4 or 5 years, you know, that's the key. But this year could be different because, again, if team – and what you're going to see, and you're seeing it already, guys are taking 1- and 2-year deals. They may get a 4-year deal, but it has maybe 2 voids after it because, again, you may not be able to get the true value. And this is going to be a year to really test that. I mean, you know, the guard market, the running back market, that's going to be down as far as what people are going to get. We'll see if it's going to affect the tight end market and the wide receiver market.
John, who are the teams you expect once this legal tampering period starts to pick up the phone and call Juju Smith-Schuster? You've mentioned the Raiders to us in the past. Any other team you think make sense for Juju?
Yeah, I would have to think that Miami would be in the hunt. The New England Patriots could be in the hunt, although it's not Bill Belichick's nature to pay top receivers that much money. It's like he doesn't pay pass rushers top money. You know, he kind of tends to go a different way, but they're sitting there with $68 million of cap room. So it's like, and they don't have hardly anything at receiver. And we see today now teams are inquiring about possible trades for N'Keal Harry, who's been a bust as far as a wide receiver for them. And they may very well will trade them. But he hasn't done anything to upgrade wide receiver and tight end in the last 2 years. I just don't know if he's going to pay a high premium to do it, but I think that they'll certainly inquire.
John, which AFC North team do you think can improve itself most in free agency this offseason?
Well, improve it. I mean, it's not going to make much of a difference because it's still not going to get them to be a winning team. But I think you look at Cincinnati as being a possible team to do it. You know, last year they were aggressive in free agency, but it didn't work out. I mean, they paid $14 million for Trey Waynes, a cornerback, and he missed the season with injury. Then they had DJ Reader, who was like a $13 million defensive tackle, and he missed most of the season with injury. But I think that I'm looking at them. Particularly with Joe Burrow coming back. I don't know if they're going to be able to re-sign. They may not. A.J. Green. So they could be in the mix to go Juju Smith-Schuster, too, at wide receiver. But they do, even though, again, it may not be the highest number, but they are willing to go top dollar, and they have the cap room to be able to do it. But, I think, for example, that's the team that could go for Joe Thuney, because when you really look at the guard list, and, of course, right now, it's unbelievable what's going on at the guard position because all the $10 million guards, for the most part, are either being shopped in trades or being cut. I mean, and we've seen a whole bunch of that.
Well, how about DeCastro then, John? I mean, he's making almost $10 million. What do you think is going to happen to him in the next couple of days?
Nothing. I think he'll probably restructure his contract, my guess.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. They've lost Marquise Pouncey. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to lose Villanueva.
Yep.
And Filer. Who knows if they can get somebody. And Filer, I mean, you're going to now have four spots on the offensive line to fix?
Unless you think Filer's back, you think they'll find a way to keep him?
I think so, yeah. And I just get the feeling that they'll bring B.J. Finney back, too, because he was cut by Cincinnati after the trade that didn't work out for Seattle. So I think Finney's going to be back because he'll come in at a very low number. And I think they liked him. It's just that, Seattle was willing to pay them a little bit more than they can afford.
John, one of the things Andrew and I were talking about earlier in the show, it's kind of a mind-blowing stat. Steelers have never had an all-pro at left tackle in their history, according to Pro Football Reference. What is it? Do you know any reason? Do they not prioritize that position compared to other teams, to your knowledge? And if so, why?
No, it's really, you can almost say they're a victim of their own success. Because, a lot of the all-pro tackles are guys that are going to be taken in the top 10. And if you're going to be in the playoffs every year, I mean, under the old way, you're drafting 21 to 32. And what ends up happening is that, those guys, because technically, after about 20, now it's a little bit deeper this year, technically, those guys have second-round grades. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to kind of be lucky to be able to hit on a Pro Bowl left tackle. And because, again, that's just one of the realities in the way that drafts are, particularly with underclassmen. This one's even going to be a little bit tougher. But I think that's a simple example of being a victim of your own success.
We're talking to John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. John, do teams look at Filer as a guard or a tackle? He played tackle 2 years ago. He played guard last year. You hearing anything on around the league? Is he looked at as a starter at both positions?
Well, really, when you think about it, he's the second best guard. And again, they can play tackle. You have the versatility of doing that. Mm-hmm. But again, the guard market right now, because with the guys being shopped right now, I could see and being cut, there's going to be at least 10 to 12 guards, and I'm not even talking about free agency, that aren't going to be there starting for their team. And so the guard market, I mean, again, you're only talking, there's 64 guards in this league that start. Mm-hmm. And so if you're talking about, 16% or whatever that's going to be gone, then he's so valuable because, I mean, the guard market right now, and the way I have my numbers set is that, Brandon Scherff got the franchise tag yesterday. He was clearly the best. Joe Thuney, who was a franchise guy at $14.3 million, he's the next best. And Filer is the next best. I have him making like about $7 million, and we'll see if that – because, again, like anything else is going to be a discount and all that. But I think right now the tackle market's a little bit better, but I look at him as being the third best guard and, of course, now the second best guard now that Scherff has re-signed.
John, what do you expect to happen with the Steelers' defense in terms of how it looks next year, just because of the sheer number of guys they could lose, specifically in the secondary, Hilton and Sutton? Do you think that's a significant hit to them and that they're going to be kind of reduced in their overall level of play next year because of all this?
Could be, yeah. I mean, because, again, there's so many teams right now that really like Hilton. I mean, he's becoming a real popular item right now, and that's going to be tough then with the bidding because a normal slot guy is going to make around $8 or $9 million, and he might be able to command that, and that may be tough for them to be able to do. I think they can maybe get Sutton and have to make a decision on the last year of Joe Hayden's contract. Could he still be with the team or not be with the team? But, again, that's being a victim of your own success. When you draft well and you've got guys that are of value, and then it comes to the point where you don't expect, when you draft these guys, you're going to hit a year where the cap's going to go down 8% to 182.5, and now trying to keep these guys is going to be difficult.
John, what is your read on that exact situation? So, looking at it at the moment, they still have Hayden and Nelson under contract, and Hilton and Sutton are set to go into free agency with it starting in a few days. Would that make you feel like the two free agent corners are gone and the two incumbents under contract would be back with the Steelers in 2021?
Yeah, still to be decided, but I'd have to think that, what the ideal thing is that, if you can get one of these younger guys, that you get them to some kind of a 3-year, 4-year deal that could work. But again, because right now you look at it and there's so few players. I have to go back in memory right now, but I think that if you look at it, like Seattle has 19 players under contract in 2022. San Francisco has 19, and I think the Steelers may have as few as 17. And so you want to start to worry a little bit about the future roster along with the current roster, but also you're in a panic situation with the cap. What they can certainly do with Hayden is maybe try to redo his contract and get him on a lower deal for something around, because again, it's like, I don't know if you want to have $13 million tied up in Hayden, but maybe he'll do a deal for a couple years and then have some voids after that. Because what you're seeing right now, and there's a whole bunch of it, even happened on the back Prescott deal,
yep,
that he had two voidable years at the end of his contract. So he signed a 6-year deal with two voids, because then you can stretch out the signing bonus and lower the deal, just like they did with Ben Roethlisberger, because on his deal, which pays him $14 million, he's got the 4 voidable years.
Speaking of that Roethlisberger deal, we still have heard, Ed Bouchette, I think, Andrew, saying, don't assume that this is just automatically Ben's last season. With that contract voiding, though, 5 days after the Super Bowl, John, are you looking at it from your vantage point as this is going to be it for Ben, or not necessarily, not so fast?
I still, again, remember, I kept on saying that they'll get something done, and they did. And he was generous enough to he'll give them $5 million of cash back and then do the voidable deals.
Yep.
I think you judge it how this year goes. If he has a good year, then he's going to be back and recompensate him at a higher level. Now, here's where one of the problems is going to be. I mean, he's going to have a hard time getting back to that $34 million level because, one of the things that they did in this year's cap that they just announced today is that it would have probably been about $155 million were it not for the floor. So they ended up borrowing, a little less than $30 million from future years. I don't know if it's going to be 2. I don't know if it's going to be 4. I know that the NFL wanted to do 2 and the Players Association wanted to do 4. But one of the things that, the smart NFL owners were going to be doing is not have the cap jump up from 182.5 to 220 million. So I'm anticipating, the cap is going to be higher than the 198.2, but it might only be 205 next year, depending on what they did as far as that. And if that's going to be the case, it's going to be 2 tight years and hard to get that big raise for Ben. But of course, then you can stretch out the contract and do some kind of a deal, and then replace the signing bonus or put the signing bonus in for base salary.
John, anything on James Conner? I mean, it's usually so hard for running backs to get money, and now everything that you just described probably makes it even harder for him. He's not coming off a particularly good year. The Steelers were dead last in running. I mean, do you think he'll get starters' money in free agency?
No. It's going to be hard even for the starters to get starters' money in free agency. One of the things I'm looking at is that they didn't put the franchise tag at $8.5 million in Green Bay on Aaron Jones. So that kind of tells me that he is going to get some kind of a deal at $10 million plus, because the rumblings are out there that they've had that kind of an offer. But here's where the problem is. No other back is going to get more than 8. Melvin Gordon was the highest paid running back free agent last year, and I'm not talking about re-signs, and he got 2 years at 16. So all these guys are going to come in under 8, but in the case of James Conner, I think he's going to come in at 3 or 4 million. I know there's interest in Miami in him, and there's going to be interest because there's so many running backs that are going to be available at lower prices, but he's going to be available at a lower price.
What is I know you just sort of said it there, John, because he's going to be available at a lower price, but the same way the Steelers' running game sort of gets chalked up in part to offensive line issues, Is Connor viewed maybe more favorably by some outside of this fishbowl because people just look at him and say, well, he had nothing to run behind, or what?
Well, I still think they, not the cancer or anything like that, but I think they also look at, you know, the injury history and everything else. And then the problem that he faces is that there's so many backs from the 2017 draft that are available that even though he's been to the Pro Bowl, they've been to the Pro Bowl too. I mean, you know, I know that Marlon Mack's available. Chris Carson has not been to the, is available. You know, now you have Aaron Jones. I mean, there was like 10 or 11 backs who were really good from that. And, of course, you throw that into the mix with backs that are being cut, but backs that are available from other drafts and even undrafted players. So, yeah, it's just going to be a tough markup. And again, you know, I think that particularly in a year like this, teams aren't going to go 3-4 years on running backs. They're going to go 1-2, realizing if you put big money into running backs, you saw Joe Mixon not do hardly anything last year because of injuries. And then you saw the Le'Veon Bell. That didn't work out for the Jets. And so you know, the big deals for the running backs are going to be on hold for 2 years.
John, one of the guys you see all over the place when these free agent rankings come out, you know, so many people can't get an exact read for him where to put him, is Antonio Brown. I mean, what are you hearing on that front? You think he ends up back in Tampa?
I think so, yeah, because I think that I don't know if he's going to be able to stay at Tom Brady's place for a second straight season. I mean, that's where he ends up. I mean, maybe they can get him enough money so he can go, get an apartment someplace or do something there. But I don't know how his market's going to be, because I think, you know, like, teams are still going to be gun shy because of what he's done off the field. And so, you know, it worked out to a small degree for Tampa Bay. I mean, he wasn't the reason they went to the Super Bowl, but he did help. I mean, what, he averaged less than 9 yards a catch, and that's not the typical Antonio Brown, but he was able to get sometimes between 3 and 5 catches and, you know, bail Brady out on some of the short throws.
How much does Brady like him? I mean, it sounds like he's got, like, probably the best big fan in the entire NFL when it's Tom Brady, but is that overstated how much Brady likes having him around?
Well, he had him in the house, so it's like with the kids and the Giselle and everybody else, and so he must like him to a major degree, because how many other quarterbacks or how many other players, you know, allow you to have one of your other players in the house, particularly if it has a questionable pass? So you have to think that he likes him because he has him staying in the house.
John, did you have a nice roommate when you were over at Duquesne? Did you guys get along? Were you in a fraternity? Did you have
I was not in the fraternity, and I commuted from Forest Hills when we moved there, so it was just my mom and myself. And then she ended up getting remarried, and so it was just the three of us. So I didn't stay in a dorm. I stayed, because again, it was like I was working all the way through college,
right?
You know, because again, I was, you know, writing. I was writing for most of the papers around the area. You know, I was doing radio hits. I mean, WLOA. I was doing stuff in Braddock. And so, I was too busy doing stuff. I was doing stuff for AP radio. It was a business type of operation.
John, who found you? Who's the guy that spotted John Clayton when he was a teenager and said, this kid right here is going to make for a great writer? Who did that? Who's the guy that spotted you and found you and said, let's get this guy going as a teenager? We don't need him at the keggers and at those types of things. Let's get him into this sports media business.
Yeah, well, it actually was one of those things where I spent the summer with my father in St. Mary's, PA, and he got me to meet with the editors at the St. Mary's Daily Press. So it wasn't like I was identified as being something great. They gave me the opportunity to do writing during the summer, so I was doing a lot of softball games and, you know, all the different things that were going on in town. Mm-hmm. And it's a small paper. And then I came back at the for my senior year, and I applied to see if I can get credentials to write, and they gave me the credentials. And so I thank Dan Rooney and Joe Gordon, because they gave me the opportunity at the age of 17 to be able to, you know, go in and cover, you know, one of the greatest franchises in NFL history.
Wow. All right, John. Great stuff as per usual. I don't know. It sounds like Hilton's got too big of a market to come back here. That's one of the takeaways I've got from this interview. Very hard to retain.
Yeah, I think it's
a nickelback.
But again, like anything else, nobody knows how these deals are going to come through.
Yeah. All right, John, great stuff. We'll talk again next week, okay?
Okay, thanks.
17 years old, credentialed.
Who would you say discovered Andrew Filippone?
Ooh, that is a great question. Who discovered me?
Like, I actually have a clear, defined answer to that one for myself, and it's Mike Thompson, who used to run 1250. Now, I know our current boss will get mad about that because he'll want co-credit.
But was that your first job in the business? Was that your first professional?
Yep. First professional, like, on-air job, yeah. I sold ad time when I was in Philly with the now very well-known ex-girlfriend who made the mixtape, but...
Is this just essentially whoever hired you?
Who hired you to read obituaries on the air?
Guy's name was Jim DeCesar.
Still keep in touch?
No. Haven't heard from him.
Were you a fan of him?
Yeah, he was a good boss. I did like him.
I got my first break at the student radio station at Syracuse. Used to pay the director of the department. If you were in charge, if you were as a senior, if you were in charge of the talk show department, for example, you'd get paid for that. And I was the second in command. And first football game, the guy in charge of the whole operation, automation kicked us off the air in the middle of post game, screwed up. And it was a last straw thing. And there was a coup. There was an uprising within the ranks.
Did you lead the coup?
Not really. Because I didn't
want to. That's not a no.
I didn't want to make it seem like I was in it for selfish reasons. And so he got the Marie Antoinette treatment, and the people decided to anoint me their leader. So that was
so
my first
paid
gig.
You were the people's champ.
I was, yes.
Yeah. Let them eat cake.
There was a revolution at the radio station.
And honestly, your status as the people's champ has continued right through here to Pittsburgh.
Sure. Sure it has. All right, John Clayton. Great stuff as per usual. How about the Dolphins might want James Conner and Juju?
I thought it was Arizona that took all of Pittsburgh's, like, you know, used parts.
Timmons went down there for about 5 minutes and then went AWOL, remember? They couldn't find him?
Yeah, something real bizarre going on with him down there.
Never really fully got to the bottom of that one.
No, because then it just, like, resumed business as usual and everyone just tried to pretend it never happened.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.